Good morning. Please find in your Bible this morning the book of John. John chapter 4, verse 31. While you're turning in your Bible to the book of John this morning, let me invite you to join us for worship on Sunday morning here at Calvary Bible Baptist Church. We have our worship service at 11 o'clock in the morning, and you're welcome to come. In fact, we want you to come. We want you to be here, worship with us. We also have a children's church that starts at 1:30 on Sunday afternoon, as well as a youth group that meets at 3:30 on Sunday afternoon. You're welcome to join us for any of those services. We also have a evening service that starts at 6 o'clock on Sunday evening, and the door will be open pretty much all day, so please come and join us. We'd love to meet you. We'd love to have you come and worship with us on Sunday. We also have a midweek service that starts at 7 o'clock on Wednesday nights. And we have a wonderful time reading the Word of God and studying the Word of God. And we also have a time of prayer as well. So come and join us for one of those services or all of them. And we look forward to seeing you here at Calvary Bible Baptist Church on Sunday and on Wednesday. John chapter 4, and I want to read starting in verse number 31, and I want to read through verse 38. John chapter 4, verse 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, One soweth, and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Let's pray. Dear Lord, bless the message this morning. Help me as I preach. Bless those who are listening. Draw us closer to you. Give us a better understanding of who Christ was. And give us a better understanding of your word, God, this morning. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Between the time the woman of Samaria went back into the city to tell the men of the city that she had met the Christ, and the time the crowds from the nearby city of Sychar arrived at the well, the disciples came back from their trip into the village to buy bread, to buy food, and they tried to persuade Jesus to eat something, but Jesus told them that he had meat that they didn't know about. He said in verse 32, I have meat that ye know not of. Now the disciples didn't know what meat that Jesus was referring to. They thought that he was talking about physical nourishment. They wondered among themselves if someone had given Jesus food while they had gone into the city. But Jesus said in verse 33, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Jesus told his disciples in verse 34 that he wasn't talking about physical nourishment. That's not what he was referring to. Jesus explained to them that he was speaking of spiritual nourishment and not the physical nourishment, not physical food. And that's not to say that Jesus didn't eat food or need physical nourishment. Remember that Jesus was God in a human body of flesh. A body with the same physical needs and desires for food and water that we have. The Bible tells us that Jesus did eat and drink food, and there are many examples of this in the Gospels. We see where Jesus ate food and drank in the water and also grape juice in the Bible. We see that over and over again. What Jesus was trying to get across to his disciples here in this chapter and in these verses was that to him, doing the will of God the Father was so satisfying and so refreshing that he felt no need for physical food at that time. Jesus had come into the world to do the work of his Father in heaven. And right at that moment, that was all he was concerned about. He didn't have time to stop and eat. He didn't have time to be hungry. He was too busy being about his Father's business. At that very moment, a crowd of sinners from the nearby village of Sychar were on their way to meet the Christ because of a woman's salvation testimony of how meeting Jesus had changed her life completely. Jesus told his disciples, "The meat that removes my hunger is to do the will of God. And God's will is that no sinner should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Christ's life work was to proclaim the message that whosoever believeth on the Son shall not perish, but have everlasting life. When Christ's work was complete, after he had cried, "It is finished," on the cross, after he had risen from the dead, after he had been faithful to fulfill every jot and tittle of God's law, he told his disciples in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, "Now it's your turn." He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Christ's will is that we follow in His steps. Christ's will is for us, His disciples, to carry the gospel message that Jesus saves into all the world. Why? Because there's a world out there lost and on its way to hell. There are souls out there today, all over this world, dying and dropping off into hell because no one has given them the gospel. No one has told them that there's hope in Christ. No one has told them that they can have their sins forgiven by faith through Jesus Christ and His shed blood. Jesus said in verse 35, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." It was a common saying among the Jews in those days that there were 4 months from the time the seeds were planted to harvest time. The sower would sow the seed, and in 4 months from that time, the harvest was ready for reaping. In verse 35, Jesus told his disciples to lift up their eyes and behold the fields that were ripe and ready for a spiritual harvest of souls. Jesus said, "Look at the Samaritans coming to listen to the gospel message on the same day that the gospel seed was planted." Jesus wanted his followers to see with their eyes, both physically and spiritually. Physically, he wanted them to see literally the masses of unsaved, unregenerate souls, especially the Samaritans who were on their way to the place where the disciples were at that very moment to meet Christ. But he also wanted them to see through spiritual eyes the great spiritual need of the Samaritans. God wants His people today to lift up their eyes and see the countless number of lost souls who are in need of salvation. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." When we allow our spiritual vision for souls to become blurred by the worldly and the carnal things around us, we will lose our burden for the lost, and souls will perish. Christ never allowed His vision for souls to become blurred, and that's why He never lost His burden. Everywhere Christ went, He reached out in love to those who were helpless, hurting, and in need of healing. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, "When Jesus saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." The Bible says Christ was moved by what He saw. His eyes were always open to the spiritual needs of those around Him, no matter who they were or where they were from. If we want to keep our burden We have to keep our eyes open to the spiritual needs of others. Because if we ever lose our vision, we will lose our burden, and souls will perish as a result. Jesus said in verse 35, "Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." Not only did Christ want His disciples to take their eyes off themselves and the things of this world, He wanted them to look on the mission fields that were white and ready for a harvest of souls. The world is our mission field. It's a vast area where millions of precious souls are ready and waiting to hear and receive the Word of God. If only someone would just answer the call to carry the gospel to them. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." What a wonderful promise. But immediately following that promise comes an important question. How then shall they call upon Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Yes, it's true. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is true. That's a promise in the Word of God. But how shall they call upon them, upon Him, if nobody's told them that they need to call upon Christ? How can they receive Christ when they don't know anything about Christ? How shall they hear the gospel without a preacher? In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah the prophet heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" The fields are white already to harvest, but who is willing to go and work in the fields? And Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." Isaiah answered the call. He said, "I'll go, Lord." And he went. And for many years, Isaiah faithfully proclaimed the word of the Lord to the people of Israel. We need more Christians like Isaiah who will not only lift up their eyes and look upon the fields, but who will also answer the call to go and labor in the fields. Jesus said to His disciples in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest." There are untold millions in the world today who have never so much as heard a simple gospel message about the love of God and the saving grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We wonder, why isn't the church doing something about that? When we should be asking ourselves, why aren't we doing anything to change that? Jesus commanded each of His disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. "Go ye" doesn't just mean go he or go she or go him or go her. "Go ye" means go me. There is no greater or more important work in this world than laboring on the mission field for lost souls. And there is no more rewarding or satisfying work than reaching lost souls for Christ. Jesus said in verse 36, "He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal." The mission field is the world that we live in. And the words of Christ here are words of encouragement to all those who labor for Him in the harvest for souls. The Christian who reaps a spiritual harvest has a far greater, more lasting reward and greater joy and satisfaction than the person who reaps a natural harvest. The individual who reaps a natural harvest receives wages, but the Christian who reaps the spiritual harvest, the Bible says, gathers fruit unto life eternal. The Christian who reaps a spiritual harvest has an eternal paycheck. The Bible says when Christ appears, those who have labored in the harvest for souls will receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Fruit gathered by soul winners is eternal fruit because the souls of men, women, boys, and girls who receive the gospel of Jesus Christ are saved from everlasting destruction and are given eternal life. The individual who reaps a natural harvest receives only physical wages, only physical benefits for the harvest that he has reaped. But the Christian reaps a spiritual harvest and receives an eternal paycheck. The Bible says in James chapter 5, verse 20, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, he that winneth souls is wise. The greatest joy and pleasure when it comes to living the Christian life is found in winning souls to Christ. Sometimes the person sowing the good seed isn't the one who reaps the fruit during the harvest. But Jesus said, he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. The person sowing the good seed is just as important as the person who goes out into the fields to reap the harvest. Jesus said in verse 37, And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. It's true that the sower is not always the reaper. But when we go out into the field sowing the good seed of God's Word, we are sowing unto eternity, where both the sower and the reaper will share in the joy of the harvest. Jesus told His disciples in verse 38, I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. The disciples of Christ were sent to reap a harvest on which they had bestowed no labor. In other words, they hadn't planted the seed, but they were the ones who were laboring in the harvest and reaping that harvest. The ones who had planted the seed were the Old Testament prophets, John the Baptist and others. They had broken the ground. They had sown the seed. They had prepared the way, and now the result of their labors was to be reaped by the apostles as they went into all the world preaching the gospel. Jesus told His disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The good seed of the gospel has been sown. And now it's time to reap the harvest. It's a great harvest. But the laborers are few. We need to pray that God would send forth laborers into the harvest. Maybe God is calling some of us to labor in the fields. Every Christian is a missionary. We all have a mission field God has called us to labor in. It could be our home or our workplace. Wherever it is, we need to be in the will of God. And we need to be busy doing the work of God because time is running out. Do we receive strength and satisfaction in seeing souls saved? Is our meat to do the will of our Father in heaven? If not, we need to get our priorities straight because there are souls at stake. It's time for us to lift up our eyes and look upon the field. For they are white, all ready to harvest. It's time for us to answer the call to go and labor in the fields.